This is Anderson Penn's podcast episode 181 for Tuesday, February 23rd, 2016. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's radio network.
Hola. Look, I didn't have time to practice. We're like really out of practice with the podcast thing going.
Yes, we are. That was very uninspired entrance. But we have a lot to talk about tonight, and I think Ola goes back to like episode like four or something.
Well, you know, I just figured I'd try and recycle something. I'm gonna try really hard to just put a new word a week in my planner and just go with it. So,
a new word or a new language?
A new way to say hello or good evening or welcome or something in a different language each week. I did really well for about 4 weeks.
You did really well. Yes.
Then it's just like,
we should revisit those and see which languages you did hit. Cause I can't remember.
Swahili was fun.
Swahili. Yeah. You did look up Swahili. So
that was cool.
Anyway. Right. I'm typing up the notes today and I see we haven't done a podcast since January 26th. So it has been pretty much a month.
Was that the post Philly or the week after post Philly?
I think it was the week after Philly. Okay. We were discussing the Philly Penn show. So,
okay. All right.
Then we skipped a week and then it was LA and then we skipped the week after. And so here we are. So we got a lot to talk about and we have 20 minutes. No, just kidding. LA Penn show is probably the big old news, I guess.
Well, we have a lot of big old news.
We do have a lot of big old news. LA Penn show was eventful.
We had plans. We made plans to meet with the president of Atoya, who distributes Sailor. And we were going to meet with Jin and meet some of the other people who work there. We'd met Jin. We'd met Larry Keok. Of course, we've seen our sales rep, Scott Hammer. Love Scott. But we hadn't met everybody else at the Atoya building. And we'd never been there, so we wanted to go. You know, we've been to Kenro, and I've spent some private time in the Aurora room. And so we went, so we planned to get there early enough to go to Atoya. And so instead of leaving on Tuesday, like we normally would, we left on Monday. And the goal was to leave by noon. And miracle of miracles, we were packed up and ready to go by 10:30.
Now on occasion, we leave early. We do get out the door early, but I don't think we have ever, this is the earliest we have ever gotten out the door. So
it was awesome.
You know, and that's great because, you know, if you get there too early, it's a problem. But if you leave early, then, you know, when you get to Utah and you get to some of these scenic overlook areas, you can stop and you can look and you can enjoy the trip. Yep. But that ended quickly.
Well, we left. We got 30 miles down the road. Actually, not even that far. We were about 20 miles out from home. And I noticed that we had some weird exhaust coming out the back. And it wasn't really cold enough to see your breath. The car was running fine. Didn't feel any different. And we both kind of looked. We didn't smell anything. We didn't see anything. We thought maybe it was like salt dust coming up from the road or something. And we just kept going. And we were turning off the main highway onto a secondary road that would take us down to Madison and kind of through some rural area for quite a long time.
Quite rural.
And you get off the off ramp and then start to go on this road and I wasn't going very fast and there are no cars. And I think I remember Brian saying like, there's nobody on the road. It's clear on my side. And I'm trying, I'm pushing on the gas and I pushed harder on the gas and the engine revved. And I checked, you know, we're in bulky coats and such. And I checked to make sure that it was not in neutral somehow. And it was in drive and pushed again. And then we started to see some smoke or steam coming out of the hood. So we Brian's like, turn it around. There was a travel plaza that we had just passed. So we did a U-turn and just kind of pulled off on the side of the road. And Brian got out and checked. And there was, what was it, brown liquid everywhere?
There's oil everywhere in the engine compartment.
Never a good sign.
I mean, everywhere.
We were, at least me personally, I was hoping that maybe we just blew a hose.
Yeah. So I called my friend, the mechanic. I said, we're coming in. We're coming in hot.
We got to go.
We called AAA and we got them to pick us up. Turns out the guy was like at the exit. He was right there.
Yeah, it was pretty quick.
He was there within 20 minutes. Picked us up. In the meantime, we just decided, you know what? Being an Acura, we thought, if this is going to require any Acura-specific parts, because we ran into this issue before, they can only get it from the dealer. We might as well just take it straight to the dealer.
Yep. And Brian had gone to do something else on the Acura not too long ago and had finally found a decent salesperson at this dealership. We're not especially fond of the dealership, or we weren't. And we were thinking about trading in the car over the summer when we had time to look, to do research, to check the surrounding dealerships in, you know, Green Bay and Oshkosh and check mileage. I mean, we have different needs than a lot of people for a car. And
I was looking on the way down. I was looking on the iPad. I'm looking at what are people selling 2004 Acura MDXs for on Craigslist? I probably shouldn't have done that.
You jinxed us. So we get to the dealership, and Brian had been on the phone with our sales guy like half a dozen times.
I think I called him 8 times.
In the back of the tow truck, Brian and I are both separately on, I think we had both phones and the iPad out, looking up different cars, trying to see what the dealership had in stock, because we can't not go to LA. And we have to leave today, which means that if the car can't be fixed, we're going to have to get a new car today. So we get in. I don't know what took the tow truck driver so long to take the car down. I got together with the sales guy and we went out to the front of the lot where all the SUVs were, and he was showing me what they had. And so I'm looking at the prices, because buying a car isn't something you should do under duress.
Well, now see, I had it was like three weeks earlier or something when I went in, I actually drove a new Acura. I said, you know, this is a really nice vehicle, but we got a plan for this, and we were planning for summer,
right?
You know, and maybe spring, you know, but late yeah, sure, spring. A new car is going to be great, but it's a lot of money, so
right, especially for us, we really do a lot of research, and we had planned to be really weird, but when we were going to do the final purchase decision, we were going to bring all the boxes that fit in the car to make sure that they fit one way or another. In whatever new car we picked. But the salesman opened up the hatches of the SUVs that were in this line. And I just kind of walked, and I knew that this was too expensive, way too small. One of the cars we thought might work was tiny. I don't do minivans, not a Lexus. Oh, this one's not bad. And literally, that's how we picked it. I kind of leaned against the tailgate and leaned in, almost like I was diving, because I know how far I have to push the first row of boxes into the Acura. And then I kind of did a Titanic leaning in, trying to measure, you know, how far it is on each side. And the sales guy was looking at me like I was nuts. And I'm like, I'm measuring. I'm good.
Well, when I was there 3 weeks earlier, the only measuring instrument they had was about an 8-inch ruler. So, you know, the Titanic thing works, right?
Yeah, it does. I you know, and I had just packed the car that morning, and you know, I know how far in I can lean, and so the car we ended up with was a 2010 Chevy Traverse. to be honest, it's not what we had even considered, except that our good friend Ivan had recommended it. He kept recommending you should look at
it. And Ivan's a pen guy. So.
Yeah, Ivan's a pen guy and a car guy.
Yep.
But when Brian had looked, it wasn't at the dealership. So we did a quick test drive. It seemed fine. It seemed comfortable. Slightly higher miles than we would have picked, but we didn't have many options. It was in our price range for what we were willing to pay. I won't call it a desperation, but under pressure. And so Brian goes to pay for it with his credit card. Just put it on the credit card and we'll handle all of the rest of that on our end later. You can't, at least in Wisconsin, you can't buy a car with a credit card. 2 hours later, we're still waiting on the
3 hours. It took 3 hours to finish the paperwork.
Yeah. Once, of course, they had been 2 minutes.
And they were detailing the car, and we're waiting to transfer stuff over, but they got to detail the car. I'm thinking, just wait till we get back because we're going on a 4,200 mile road trip. It's going to get dirty. I don't really care.
Well, and the car was immaculate to start with. Yeah, they had just gotten it in. It was. I couldn't find anything wrong with it. I thought it was perfectly clean. And we tried to explain, we're going to drive 4,200 miles. It's going to get filthy. And we're going to live in it. Literally. two days back. We're going to eat in it. We're going to sleep in it. It's fine.
And there wasn't that many people at the dealership when we got there, right?
Yeah.
And so I told everybody, we're on our way to LA. We're in a hurry. We need to speed this up. So what happens is my favorite part of the whole financing thing. And then we will get the pens. Actually, two parts about the financing. The first thing, the guy gets down and goes, oh, so what do you do? And I'm like, I sell pens. He goes, oh, well, do you have this? Do you have a second to look at the website? I'm like, I really don't. I really got to get going. So he's going through and he's trying to sell me, like, I think there were seven different packages, you know, the windshield protection package and the paint protection package and the protection package for the interior and all this. And he's got one that's essentially that's like AAA. And I said, well, I've got AAA and we've used that. And that's pretty good. He goes, have you ever used it? I looked at him. I said, this morning.
That's how we got here.
You think I got here? Anyway, we are on the road by 3:45, I think is when we left. Is that right? 3:45? 3:45, of course, then by this time, we've got to go get lunch. So then that's a further derailment. But as it worked out, I guess we were a little bit more motivated to get moving, and we did. We made great time.
Mm-hmm. Well, the car's got great pickup, and it's a really smooth ride. So I don't do change well, and I don't. This is not how I want to learn a new car. Usually, I like to learn it by going to the grocery store, going to Target, driving to work, not driving through the Rockies. But it's got amazing pickup. And when I didn't have cruise control on, it was such a smooth ride. I'd look down and go, oh, my God, we're doing 82. I didn't mean to do that.
And for those wondering, yes, we can actually fit more pens in this car.
Yes.
It's a little bit deeper, so we can fit more pens in. I don't know what that means for going to shows. So anyway, the trip was good. The car held up. We got to L.A. Actually Wednesday morning,
early morning,
we got into the hotel. Nice place. We got a chance to, we were in a day early. We've got some time to do a little sightseeing down by the beach. And then
we never get to do that. We never get to go and just sit and enjoy lunch, and we never get to do any sightseeing or walking or just whatever.
Right.
It was nice.
So we did that. We had lunch at not a Puerto Rican restaurant, a Portuguese restaurant, which was interesting. They had some decent fried rice.
The green soup was weird.
And the weird green soup, right, which is probably the death of me, I don't know. And then we got changed, got ready, and we headed out to Itoya. Of course, along the way, we then discovered that the car's air conditioning doesn't work. And that's a whole humorous story in and of itself. We managed to make our way to Atoya, and that was awesome.
We had a good time. It was worth it. It was worth it.
Definitely worth the trip. We got to see the whole organization. We talked with Jun Takamura and Larry Keok. We got to see all the people we talked to in the office, see the back office area, the warehouse, which is huge.
Yep.
Jim keeps his cars there.
We got to hear some funny stories. It was just really, it was really nice to deepen the relationship. We have a phenomenal relationship. You guys know we love Sailor Pens. We love the organization that distributes them. We love our salespeople. We're all just a big family, but it was really nice to spend more time with them. And to see where everything is kept, how everything is organized. I actually got a couple ideas. Don't tell Brian. And it was great. It was really fun. And Jin keeps several of his cars in the loading dock. So the joke was that every time they get a big delivery, he's got to move out all his cars so the truck can back in. I think so, Brian got some ideas there.
I got some great ideas. Funniest part, one of the funniest stories of being in Atoya is we're sitting in a conference room and we're talking. And Larry's bringing in all these interesting pens that either we don't have or we didn't know we could get to give to us for the show. And we're picking up some product. We're picking up some ink and some Atoya haiku journals. And we're talking about this Sailor Nib kit. And this kit has it has a pen very similar to this. This is the ribbed 1911 large. This is an older version of the pen, but it has a ribbed 1911 large pen, and then it has two rows of nibs. It comes in this old, not old, but this really cool box, wooden box. How did Jin say it smelled like an old Japanese hut?
Tea house?
Tea house. Yeah, I think that's what it was, something like that. But it's got two rows for nibs. It has one row of seven, which is your standard seven Sailor nibs, extra fine, medium, broad, music, zoom. And then on the bottom row are the 14 bespoke nibs.
So we're just drooling.
And then this kit was what, $6,000, right? Is that something the MSRP? Like that. Something like that, $6,000. Comes in a box, comes in a beautiful outer box.
We're like, okay, so can we get this on terms?
Yeah, right. You know, I'll take one. I'll put it on my desk. This is great. But the funny thing is we're talking about this and we're looking in there.
And they're all in little individual plastic
vials almost.
Yeah.
Like a big ink file, a wide ink file, right?
Yeah. So I'm picking one up, and you know, especially the bespoke nibs, because we don't have any of those. At this point, you know, it's there are only two, and so some of them I've never seen. So I pick one up and I look and it's empty. Put it down. Okay, that's
great. And we're talking for about 10, 15 minutes about this thing.
And I keep picking them up and
they're
no one's empty.
All empty.
I look at that one and that one's empty. And Jin said something and I said, well, there, one of us said, well, there are no nibs. And he said, what? What are you talking about?
We've been going off for 15 minutes about this, and there's not a single nib to be found in this kit.
And so he and Larry, you're both looking, and they're like, you could see they're going, oh my God, in their heads, you know, we're missing a ton of nibs. And they called somebody else, and it turns out that they had taken them out of the box and put them into pens. And they had spent the money to have the name of the nib engraved on the barrel of the body. And in fact, the set of tester pens that we bring to shows and that we have at the store is from that box of nibs. And so we did get to see the bespoke pens.
The other 14, yeah.
The other 14. But yeah, you could see the look on their faces. It was like, where'd they go?
Yeah, and the pens are all, they're Pro Gear large. Demonstrators with gold trim, which you can't get, right. which makes them special in and of themselves. But then they've got the name engraved on them in gold. But yeah, it's hilarious. We're looking at this and we're talking about how awesome this set is and about one guy who ordered like 6 or 8 of them or something crazy like that. And they're not a nib in there.
Yeah, it was really funny.
But otherwise, it was a great, and it's awesome to go there and they're like, well, we need ink for the show. We need Yamadori. So let's just get a box of it, you know?
And we just picked up a carton and we picked up 24 haiku journals and a boatload of pens. It was like one of these, two of those. It was like grocery shopping. It was awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I was telling them, I said, I need some Pro Gear Rialos, black and gold. And so then all of a sudden they come up to me and they Larry says, oh, I don't know if it was Ed or somebody else. He says, go do an inventory for me. He comes back. He's got a list. Here's all the nibs we have. And I'm just like, I'll take that one.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like, right, we got the shopping list going on. So, Pro Gear, Mil Colores, which we haven't had, and the blue is outstanding.
Yes. Did you bring one home?
I did not bring one home. I am completely on the fence on that pen. That's
unusual for you.
It's well, I either have to have it, or it's kind of. And this pen, I mean, it could be any day now. I could just go into the case and just take it out because it's just.
I think we only have one blue.
We have two.
Chris only saw one when I had him count.
There's one in the case.
All right.
I took one. There's one upstairs. This pen has three different shades of blue separated by gold rings on the barrel and on the cap. It's outstanding. It's beautiful. Just really, yeah, it's a great, great looking pen. And then there's also one in white, pink, and red, which is a little weirder combination, but
I think it's pretty.
It got some looks in LA. You know, I mean, if you like that kind of color combination, I mean, it's kind of all Valentine's-y.
We ended up taking a boatload of pens from Atoya and we are working to get them all up on the site. Some cool stuff.
We're excited. Maquillé, some 1911 standard yes. Maquillé, which was really interesting. So screen Maquillé, but
beautiful.
There's a blue, I mean, a lot of times you see Maquillé on black. It's either ebonite or black resin. There's one on ivory, which is very neat. And one on blue. These are all resin. They're not telling the standards, but blue resin, black resin, and ivory. And they're just neat stuff.
They're really cool.
That was Atoya. We had dinner with Larry and Jin afterwards. And that brings us into Thursday.
Let's just kind of mush Thursday, Friday, and Saturday together.
Yes, I think so.
Normally in LA, Sunday is the only day that the show is public. And Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you share tables. And generally for us, we buy 4 tables for Sunday, which means we're allowed 2 tables the rest of the time, which I will freely admit, doesn't really make us happy. We spend a boatload of money and we get half our space. Yep. While people who pay the $50 trading pass, they get half a table those 3 days. So it's definitely geared more toward the collector as a seller for the first 3 days. Normally it works out really fine, but.
And we know all this going in and that's just how this show is run. And that's okay.
You make
arrangements and it works out and it's great.
Right. This year though, there was something else booked in one half of the ballroom. So the space that everyone is used to having the complete run of was not even half the size. And so you have people who already are unhappy that they can't get their space or that someone else is in their Sunday space. So they can't, you know, put their banner on the wall or whatever. And so temperatures ran, people were pretty hot.
Yeah,
it was a pretty, pretty ugly,
put it that way.
Yeah. A lot of the, old school guys don't do change well. And, so a lot of people were really pretty hot about the fact that there wasn't as much room and not everybody was keeping to their half part. I mean, we did. And we're one of the bigger vendors there. And you know, some guys who are entitled to only half had a whole table and there just wasn't enough room.
Yeah, in fact, so Thursday we weren't able to get our actual, we like to get the actual table on Thursday so we can start setting up the grid in advance. And we couldn't get it. Even though we were there at 8,
mm-hmm.
There were people apparently in the room at 6:30 in the morning. And I'm sorry, I'm not getting up to go to the LA Penn show. It'd be there at 6:30 a.m. Thursday. I just won't do it.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. So we ended up setting up behind where we normally set up, and no ink, just pens. You know, and it was all right. It was okay. But we had a lot of people asking. Yeah, we made do. A lot of people are asking where the ink and the paper was. But you know what? That was that was due for Friday. And Friday we were able to get set up, get the ink out, the paper out.
Yep.
So.
And Saturday, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're decently busy. Sunday we managed to acquire a helper who rocked.
It's awesome. So,
Jason, if you're out there or when you hear this, you rocked. Definitely next year, three of us made an awesome team. So yeah.
And I hope you're enjoying the advantage, the Homo sapiens. Not the Homo sapiens.
Working for us at shows is fun. We pay in either cash or products. So you get to hang.
He walked out of there with a really sweet deal on a Homo sapiens, let me tell you.
He did. Yeah. And he was really happy about it.
I mean, he knew in advance. He knew Saturday. He's like, yeah, set it aside for me. I'm taking it.
Now, this show is also over Valentine's Day, which is special for us because we got engaged on Valentine's Day several years ago.
We did.
And
by the way, I want to mention, because a lot of people, when they hear, oh, you got engaged on Valentine's Day, that's so cheesy. It was sort of on accident. Right? I mean, the engagement was...
Well, we didn't think that we'd find a ring that day.
We Lisa flew up. We were going to go look. We actually found exactly what we wanted. And in fact, we were on our way out of the store, the jewelry store. And we like saw it out of the corner of our eye. And we looked. Because the guy was pushing us to $10,000 rings and this crap like that. I'm not
doing that.
And then there it was.
Too clumsy. Yeah.
So it just happened. Anyway.
Valentine's Day is special because we got engaged that day. And, you know, an engagement anniversary is what? It's an excuse to get pens.
It is, absolutely. Very nice.
So Brian ended up over the weekend with a gorgeous vanishing point that we found.
I have it here and you can't really see. You can't see it. This is a Rodin. And for those who are vanishing point aficionados and Rodin aficionados, you will know that there's a current version of the Rodin, and then there's an earlier version of the Rodin, and these are the little flakes, which interestingly enough we'll get to later. We found out how these are made. The early versions have small sprinkles and they're spread out over a larger portion of the barrel than the modern version, which has bigger sprinkles, which are more closely packed. So when I discovered that, when I found that out last year, I was kind of on a quest to get the old one. And sure enough, was it Thursday or Friday? I saw it right away. It's on Sarge's table. And, and the price was right. I really think the price was right. You certainly weren't going to get it any less than what we got it for. But it's cool. It's actually NIBBA's Day Code of 2006. So, roughly 10 years ago, hard to say when that cutoff was between this version and the current version, but, when you hold the two next to each other, they're very distinctly different. So,
yep. And
very cool to add to the collection. I only have the only vanishing point, modern vanishing points I have are Rodin. So,
and now, you don't have all of them. You're missing one.
I'm missing one, which we actually have at the store. I just can't take it out of the case yet because I have to earn it. But, but that was cool. Yeah. So thank you. My Rodin, if you see me at a show or you see me in the store, I usually have it with me. So.
Well, and the other Valentine's present was kind of a trip. When we were in Philadelphia, Michael Ward is a good friend of ours, and he did a few calligraphy classes, and he's doing these amazing leather desk blotters, and he burns a name or a logo into them. I'm not sure how he does it.
Debossing, is that what it is?
He does a couple different things, but I fell in love with it. And I thought this would be so cool for Brian on his desk. And so I told Michael what I wanted. We shook on the deal, and he was trying to figure out how soon I wanted it. And I said, well, just bring it to me in LA. He's going to be there. We're going to be there. That would be perfect. And he texted me sometime over the weekend and said, oh my God, I totally forgot. And quite honestly, so had I. Do you want it Brian Anderson or you know, middle initial? And so we went back and forth. And then he brought it to me on Sunday, and I gave it to Brian, and it's beautiful.
It's nice.
You put pictures of it, haven't you?
Yeah, well, Michael posted it on his Instagram page and on Facebook. And I also took a picture today that I posted on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter that had a couple pilots. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really neat. And it's larger than I thought it would be. It's, gosh, it's got to be
like 12 by 18.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's beautiful. And it's, you know, in the name portion of it's probably 12, 15 inches long and several inches high. And it is gorgeous. It looks great on the desk. It's, I got to be careful not to scratch it, but
it's beautiful. So
it's nice. And you had mentioned it in Philly. We had kind of, you know, talked about it, and I totally forgot about it. And there it was. And, you know, so, but any other pens we want to talk about from LA or recent pen acquisitions, since we're talking about pens?
Yes, I am the new proud owner of.
Speaking of pilots.
Oh my God, some incredibly. So it was Vanishing Point pen acquisition month. So these, everybody sit down, brace yourself. These are freaking cool.
So you got to get the other two though.
Well, I just pull those out of the case.
Yeah, you can't see them.
All right. These are Carbonesque Vanishing Points. Here's the
These aren't your mother's Carbonesque Vanishing Points.
This one's green. I guess it's hard to tell in the light. This one's green. It's a dark hunter green. And this one is burgundy. Yes, green and burgundy Carbonesque Vanishing Points. Baby. Very excited. So those made their way into my grimy little hands, and I was so excited.
You know, I had two new acquisitions I left at the office, so maybe I'll just hold off on those till next week.
Yes, that's
but
fine.
I have one in my pocket though. I can
what
show
else
that.
Did you get?
I have this one. It's black. Which one this is?
Does it have a nib?
It's got a nib, absolutely. It's got a nice nib.
All right, what is it?
This is a pilot. I don't really know what the model number of this is.
I guess we should look that up.
It's in the Japanese catalog, and it's kind of hard to see. But it's a screen Mach-EA, and it's got a Phoenix, and then there's gold dust on the barrel and on the cap. It's a really gorgeous pen. It's on resin, but it's got the same 14 karat nib. It's really the same size as the custom 74. And I don't have my custom 74 here, but it's the same size. It's really the same platform. It's a bandless cap, so there's no cap band, but screen Mach-EA. There is a signature of the artist who created the screen on the bottom there, and some gold dust. It's really a neat pen. I've been using it all week. I guess it's pilot month, so.
Yep. Well, that's all right. And then, so we left. Sunday was a good day. And we left after the show and headed back. Same as last year, we got to about Vail, Colorado. And we hit weather. And up until then, and we'd been watching the weather for the entire week, you know, before we left to see what it was going to be like. But we got to Vail, Colorado, and ice and snow, and it was awful. And last year, I ended up driving through this. I think the snow was worse last year, but it was icier this year. So last year, you couldn't see the lane markers. You couldn't see anything. And of course, trucks are flying by you. And, you know, I'm just like, please don't die. Please don't die. Please don't skid.
Well, and we're in a new car that is noticeably wider.
Yeah.
And noticeably heavier. So it accelerates faster. It's got more weight going downhill. It's, you know, I mean, we were joking when we first picked it up that this thing has good brakes. It now has 70% good brakes currently, partially, I'm sure, due to the Rocky Mountains. But and then it's got this little sensor on it that says, you know, ice possible, drive with caution. So that doesn't make us feel any better.
Right. But, you know, last year I drove all the way down the mountain and white knuckled. And we got to Denver and we pulled off to this Olive Garden and we sat and just – you know, said thank you for making it down. So this year I was driving, I pulled off and made slash let Brian drive since he's been driving in the snow more consistently than I have. Well, I drove when I was young and then I've driven up here, but you've driven in the snow far longer than I have. But I freely confess the whole time, I'm shocked I didn't break the door handle. Because I was gripping it so hard some of that time. But this year, all the trucks and cars were slowed to a crawl.
Which was actually wasn't the worst thing in the world because
it was
couldn't go fast. I mean, there were guys that were just really being a little ridiculous. But anyway, it was a little bit longer than expected down to Denver. But once you get to Denver, it's, you know, it's smooth sailing all the way out. So.
Yep. Made it home Tuesday night, and my mom was here hanging out with the kids, and she and my son came to the store. We helped, they helped unpack for, I don't know, hour and a half.
We got there just after the store closed, so we were done by 7:38.
Just to get started, because the very next night, we had to pick up the general manager of Pilot USA, John Lane, who was coming into town for a couple days to visit us and to do an event. So we had to work really fast to get everything unpacked, inventoried, put out, and all the boxes put away to make the store back to beautiful and put all the pens back in the cases before John got there.
And, you know, I just want to say everybody – involved did a phenomenal job, you know, nose to the grindstone kind of stuff. I mean, everybody did a great job of doing what needed to be done to make sure that place was, I mean, it's beautiful as it is, but they made it just great. So, you know, Chris and Dave and Steph and Garrett and your mom, am I missing anybody? I mean, you know, everybody was just awesome.
So. Just hustling and okay, I'm done with this. What do you need now? Who needs this? All right. Somebody take a load of boxes upstairs and put them away. It was phenomenal. And we picked up John at 5 on Wednesday and took him back to the store just to give him a little tour when nobody was there.
Dave was just closing down the gate as we were walking in the front door.
Yeah, it was funny. So we gave John a tour of that. We gave John a tour of the upstairs office space, which is coming together amazingly well. And,
we haven't really officially talked about, but yes, there's an upstairs office space.
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll periscope it one of these days a little cleaner. And then we went to dinner, dropped him off at his hotel, and then we picked him up Thursday morning early to take him to our favorite breakfast spot in town, which is also a block down from the store. And we had a good breakfast, and then came back and we got to play with just freaking amazing Pilot pens all day.
You know, it's amazing what he could fit in that backpack or in his case. I mean, it was absolutely nuts. He's got He's got two Emperors. He's got two Yukari Royales. He's got what was – I mean, we kept a bunch of it, but he took some stuff back. There must have been
– We kept over a dozen pens.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, all beautiful Namiki, Makie.
Oh, to die for.
You know, hand done. There were a couple screen pieces, but actually, there were no screen pieces. They're all hand Makie.
And the Decimos.
And the Decimos, and some other cool stuff that we're going to talk about. The Kakanos, and
Did we keep those?
We did not keep those. We didn't keep. But that's the stuff that he brought.
Right.
Which is coming soon. He had a couple of vanishing points that we had, but at least we had some testers. We had, you know, a stub inked up, which was cool. So people could come in and they could try these. And we even, and I don't think it was, you know, so we got to the store. What time did we get the store on Thursday?
It was about by
the
nine. Time
we got in, 9. Was it 9:15 before we had dipped that $8,400 Namiki Emperor?
Yeah, we got in, figured out where we were going to set John up and how we wanted to lay out these pens, because you can't just – these have to be displayed.
Yes. And yeah, you don't just put them – you can't just have them in a zipper case. It doesn't work.
And John says, well, let's ink them up. Like, wait a minute. This thing's $8,400.
Not when we didn't ink. We dipped that.
But
he said, you know, we can't. Brian's not going to last very long. So here, just go ahead and we
dip it and try it.
What a dream, man! I mean, seriously. You don't get very many chances in life, and I know some people think that that's completely absurd. I mean, $8,400 price tag, but to dip and write with an $8,400 pen, it's just it's and one as beautiful as that. It's awesome. You know, quail eggs used for crushed quail eggs used to make the design for the owls on the pen. It's just
and it looks just like Hedwig.
We're calling it the Hedwig pen. The level of artisanship on these pieces is amazing. Really, really cool. And John is teaching us about how you can read the signatures on the pen actually means something. It's more than just the artist's name. It's their guild, and it's their, you know, they have a stamp, and if it's two lines, and one person did the pen, and just really, really cool stuff. It was a phenomenal day. Really fun.
And then we went for dinner, and Brian and John both, we went to a local steakhouse that is it world famous? It's certainly nationally well known.
I would think so. I mean, every NFL football team eats there, so.
Yep. Brian and John both ordered French onion soup, and it came on a big flattened bowl. And then, so there's broth kind of on the bottom of the bowl, and then there's this huge onion that's cored out, and then there's more broth and
your croutons in there,
cheese and your cheese and your croutons. And they both were just floored.
I'm ruined. I can no longer look at French onion soup the same again. It's never going to be that soup. I'm always going to want to have an onion in my soup.
The presentation was just.
I mean, it was literally, it was huge. It was, you know, it was softball size.
It was bigger than your fist. It was huge.
So
that was fun. Steaks were to die for. Dessert, oh my God.
Good conversation.
We just had a great, great time. You know. So John is coming back in the summer. I hope he brings his wife. And we just had an awesome time. And we've since had some people in asking about a couple of the pens that we had at the store during the event. So that was pretty cool.
And we're working on getting some of that stuff up on the website too. Yep. Like I said, we pulled out about a dozen pieces, including, let's see, did we keep the 912s that he sent, that he brought?
Yes. Chris has them downstairs.
Oh, that's right. So we have 912. So can we talk about this? We can talk about this.
Yes, we can.
912s, including the new Waverly nib. Now, I don't think anybody in the country has this thing yet.
Nope, not yet.
So Waverly nib is turned up at the top.
It's cool.
It's a firm nib. But it's a very smooth writing nib. You can write upside down if you want. It also you can write at an angle. Cool nib, that's going to be available. We have it in our hands. We also have the much awaited Decimo, which sadly I think we have to send back tomorrow.
Yes. I've got all four. I should do one at a time. So the Decimo, I have a vanishing point on the bottom and the Decimo on the top. It's hard to tell. The Decimo is slightly thinner. Thinner in girth. That was mine. That was not the slippery little suckers.
Ouch.
They're really about the same size, but the Decimo is definitely thinner in the hand. But beautiful pens. You've got the red, which is just about the same color as the red Metal Falcon, right?
Yeah, it's spot on, and I think it's pretty close.
There's a lavender purple, which is a pretty kind of an orchid color.
Yeah, it's a different color. Now, we'll have pictures of these up tomorrow, too, because we've got some great shots today.
Champagne color, which is kind of a peachy, pinky champagne.
It's
not ivory. It's pretty. I actually traded for this very same pen in San Fran in August.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we partly traded on a rod. But it's a real subtle, very subtle color on that champagne. It's very neat. I like it.
It's almost like a really muted, not really a copper. It's a very pretty color. It's a nice neutral. Mm-hmm. You know, the lavender, not everyone could pull off. The champagne, I could easily see in a woman's hand or a man's hand. And then there's a light blue, which is almost exactly the color of the light blue Falcon, the Metal Falcon.
Yeah, I think this is the one where I think it's maybe a little bit different. It might be the light, but I think this one's got a tinge more purple in it, just a touch. It's just not quite hair. Exact. The red Metal Falcon and the red Decimo are spot on for sure. But that's a good way to describe it. If you know that light blue in the Metal Falcon, that's
the sapphire. Close. Yeah. It's very very close.
Yeah.
And these will have
my eyes too. No.
Extra fine, fine, medium, and broad?
No broad. Extra fine,
extra fine,
medium.
Fine, medium.
You know, it should be noted that the clip is slimmer too. If you don't like a vanishing point, and I had a periscope today, if you can't stand the way the vanishing point is, you got to put one of these in your hand and you got to try them. And we had several people come to the events last week, and they're ready to go when these things come out because it's a different feel. Mm-hmm. They take the standard Pilot vanishing point nibs. So if you've got a nib that you've had custom ground, or you have one that you like, or you like a broad, or you like the new stub, they don't come with them. You can certainly swap them out.
And Michelle's commenting that she has one. The older VP nibs don't fit, but the current ones do.
Yep.
So we have that. And are we going to talk about this?
Did you bring it?
No, I thought you brought it.
Oh, I didn't bring it. Okay. You wouldn't be able to see much of it online. I'm gonna periscope about it tomorrow, I think. The much rumored and is now very much true Con 40 converter.
It's cool.
It's a piston converter. We have the absolute only one in the country. There are no more. We have it. It's going to replace both the 50 and the 20. Now, I'm guessing, and I didn't ask this question, but I'm guessing that means the Metros are then going to come with the Con 40, because right now they come with a modified, slimmed down version of the Con 20. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there. But and this holds, we measured it. It's approximately 0.03 milliliter less than a Con 50. So almost no difference, really no difference. It's all transparent. It's got a new, it has three, it has four little metal balls for agitators instead of that big clunky system that they have now. It's got a little cage to keep the balls in. It's a very, very neat, neat converter. So we're going to take some pictures of it hopefully tomorrow, but realistically in a couple of days, and we'll get them up. But it's a neat thing. I'm going to start testing it tomorrow. But look out for the Periscope tomorrow on that. And is that it for Pilot? So there's one other piece of news that we've got to discuss here.
Yep. I think that's it for Pilot. We just had such a great time, and great time. We got to see, you know, having a pen store is fun, and having a pen store,
get out.
you know, we get to see everything at shows. We get to order anything we want. We don't, you know, cause they want to get paid for it. But I got to tell you that seeing some of these higher end maquillés in person, we gushed and oohed and aahed just like any newbie, just like anybody who'd never even heard of this stuff. This is just, we yeah, still get excited.
We do. I got my eye on one of them.
You do. Yes. But, you know,
the just, one that starts with Maki and ends with A, one of those.
Just, you know, kind of keep in mind that having a pen store doesn't make you jaded. We still get just as excited as
it was exciting. Do. I mean, and it was fun to watch because we're standing around and, you know, and every once in a while, you know, there'd be a little lull and David would go over and he'd pick up a pen and he'd look at it and he'd set it down. And then Chris would come over and he'd pick up a pen and look at it, set it down. And then 10 minutes later, David come over and he'd pick up the same pen, and, you know, and he'd open it up and he'd write with it, you know, and watching these guys do it all day long is just a treat. It's really a yeah. treat. So.
Because Brian was hoarding it most of the rest of the time.
I was not. But anyway, thanks for everybody that came out. Store was pretty busy, and it was cool to see to folks come out and check out the fun stuff. So
yep.
We will do it again. In sad news this week, if you have not already heard.
It's official.
It's official, although there has not been a real official announcement other than Luca's Instagram post, which pretty much says it all. Omos is done. It has not been sold. It is being closed. In fact, the is it 14 or 17 employees have been already 17 have been laid off. Most of them have been laid off. We're not quite sure what's going to happen with the remains of the factory. The Chinese company that owns 90% of the company it doesn't want to sell. They just want to close it down. And so we knew that this might happen. Luca Baglioni was and some employees were trying to buy it. They made a valiant effort. They made an offer, but the Chinese company just was not interested in selling, and they closed it down. So what that means is,
if you've been thinking about an Omos, grab it now because
now's the time. Yeah,
the distributor of Omos, Kenro, didn't really get restocked after the big Christmas rush. So when we inquired about what they had left in stock, there's not much left.
Yeah,
so what
probably
retailers
nothing.
Have is close to it.
Yes,
we are getting some ink, not much. We've asked about some pens, but they were going to do an inventory and then let us know what they had. But there is, our contact was really honest and said they had a really good season for Christmas and they never really got restocked because they were waiting to hear and not much was shipping out of Omos.
Well, and a lot of people, you know, like our good friend, Paul, who's in the chat, were wise enough to see that. I mean, we all saw the writing on the wall, right? But I think sometimes you don't want to believe. And I think it was such a good season because everybody was, you know what, this may not go through. I'm going to get that Omos that I always wanted now. And that's what happened. I'm not holding out that we're going to get anything. And I have one Omos, actually two, but I know what? the second one they don't make. I have one Omos on my list, and I don't think I'm going to be able to get it. So I'm going to have to start looking secondary market.
So it's sad. They made beautiful pens. You guys know that I'm a huge Aurora fan and Brian's a huge Omas fan. I do have an Omas that the green one, Paul and I have twin pens. I'm hanging on to that.
Yeah. And here's, I mean, and these pens are so great. I've got a Paragon here, a black Paragon. This is the new Paragon sterling silver section, 2-tone 18 karat nib. I've not used this pen since before LA, and I just picked it up and it's ready to go. And it's just such a smooth writing pen. So in 1 year, not only did we lose John Colton, we lose Omas in the same year. So, but, anyway, so that's that. Those of you on the mailing list, you noticed, all the Omas stuff that we have is up. Yeah, we've got some Art Visions, some Art Noirs, things like that. London Spoke, including, we also put up today, we've got a prototype, Art Deco.
It's cool.
It's actually marked prototype. It's marked proto on it. So it's the proto for the Art Deco series in red. It has an issue. It's got a crack in the cap, but you know, it's fixable, but you can't send it to Omas where you could, even if they were open, you couldn't send it because they just replaced the cap or they'd confiscate the pen because it's prototype. Right. Ballpoint. We got maybe a dozen pens left. I think is all we have left.
Right. So. When they're gone, they're gone. So
that's it.
What else is new on the site?
We've got for pen restorers, we've got three new sack sizes. We restocked in a bunch of pen sacks, but we brought in sizes 10, which is a very niche size. 10, 13, and 19. 10 is extremely, extremely small, but you never know when you're going to run into it.
Yep.
So now we have sizes pretty much every size from 10 to 22. There's no, yeah, there's a couple of 21s in there too. So, those, we've also got some new inks, since we last had a podcast.
We've got the new Blackstone inks from Australia. I don't think anybody else in the country has them. I'm not sure, but, it's the same company that we get our toucan ink from, and these are some really pretty new colors. These are nice.
Yeah.
So we're excited to have those. And while we were in Philadelphia, we picked up a new ink from Stipula in a really pretty purple. So that's new on the site as well.
What else we got?
Well, we were notified, was it yesterday or the day before, of some Cross and Schaefer pens that are being discontinued.
Cross went through and took a hatchet.
Yeah, it's really kind of sad.
There's what, five pages in the catalog for current stuff, and then there's five pages for stuff that's been
discontinued.
I mean, it's half and half this time around.
Yeah.
Some of it was time. Some of the stuff I was hoping they would discontinue. They didn't discontinue. So
we've got some of those moved to the closeout part of the site. And
well, they were, I didn't get to it today, but
I did.
Oh, you did. Okay.
I did most of them. So we're still going through, and there's a lot of stuff. So definitely check out the sale and the closeout portions of the site under special.
We'll talk about that on the mailer maybe next week or something once they get organized. So video blog stuff the last couple of weeks, in case you didn't see it, Sailor Kabazaiku, cool pen. We actually sold the last one we had in LA, so we were going to talk about it in the mailer, but we'll get some more. But it's a cool pen. Check out the video. You know, I know most people think wood pens are like, you know, this is a cool pen. This is really a cool wood pen. It's the coolest one you're going to find. Also Sailor Imperial Black. If you like stealth pens, that's a cool stealthy pen. Some Schaefer Cigars, although ironically most of the cigars are being discontinued. And a nice article on our good friends at Retro 51. So,
And I'm just going to say, if you're interested in retro, just check the site.
Yeah, if you're a retro collector, check the site tomorrow. We have, should we just talk about it? I didn't bring them here.
Oh, that's where. Oh, I was going somewhere else.
Oh. Something that's already on the site is what I'm talking about.
Yes. Those you can talk about. These are cool.
I don't have them. I don't have them in hand. In 2005, Retro 51 made a pen called the Double Eight. Is really an outstanding looking pen. It's very Art Deco. It's faceted. Really a super looking pen. Marbled celluloid. It's gorgeous.
There's a mahogany and an ivory.
The mahogany was limited to 200 pieces.
Correct.
And the ivory is limited to 100 pieces. Now, and these are all individually numbered. All in the original box, original paperwork, original outer sleeve, everything. Now, what usually happens at Retro is when there's a limited edition, it's not uncommon for number 51, because it's Retro 51, to be pulled and set aside for the owner, George.
Mm-hmm.
And George keeps those. And that's part of his deal. We have five pieces. So we've got a fountain pen, and fine liner, which I believe we haven't checked yet. We can convert it to a rollerball. In mahogany, and the other one is rollerball, fine liner, ballpoint, and fountain pen. All are serial number 51.
These all belong to George himself, the owner.
The owner of the company. Yeah, these all belong to him. We have them all. Now, they are available separately. If you want to buy them all as a set, I guess you could. The mahogany has an 18-karat nib. The ivory has a steel nib, but beautiful, beautiful, beautiful plastics. Our celluloids, we'll have pictures of them up hopefully tomorrow. They're being taken tomorrow. So neat for cool retro stuff. Collectors, this is a cool thing if you don't already have it. So, but you don't have the number. So,
right.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
What else we got? We got some shout outs. Are we about ready?
We've been rambling on. Shout outs. I'm going to miss people, especially from LA, and I'm sorry. A big hug and a shout out to Paul, who brought us wine, same kind as last year, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, I can't wait. It was so good. We waited last year until the weather was warm so we can enjoy it outside. So now we know how good it is, and we got to wait for 2 months.
Or longer.
Yeah, we waited till May, I think, last year until we drank it.
Always awesome to see Eddie G, and he was flying solo, which was brave of his wife. huge, huge hug and love to Michael, and we got to see him and got to meet my sister from another mother, his wife Jan and their daughter Fiona, and I'm pretty, what?
Go ahead, keep going.
Women have sisters from another mother. It just doesn't roll off the tongue. Like,
it doesn't roll off the tongue at all, yeah.
So. I'm pretty sure they are going to make a trip up to Appleton in the summer. So that's going to be fun.
Great. That'd be awesome. Yep. We have a super
We've got time. Two guest rooms with their names on it. I'm excited. Right. Yep. Big hug to John Lane for such an awesome few days. I can't remember the last time we laughed that much. John kept saying, I'm in selling mode. And usually it was to Brian. We just had such a great time, and it was so wonderful to be able to see and handle some of the stuff that we've been considering, and just to, it was just really wonderful.
Yeah.
Big hugs to Mom for hanging out. She came up and took care of the house and the kids and the cat.
She rocks.
And the what?
She rocks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But the kids are grown. But you never know what's going to happen when we're gone for 10 days in the winter. Even though we have a new furnace, the cat, the house, branch falls on the house, whatever. So it's a huge relief that we don't have to worry, and we can just go and do what we need to do, knowing that the house and the family is all fine. Big, huge thank you to Jason for helping us on Sunday. He rocked, and it looked like he was having fun.
He was, yeah. He was having a good time.
Yeah. So, Jason, when you hear this, if you're around next year, you're in, man. If you want to, we would love to have you back because that was a lot of fun. Huge thank you to Jen and Larry at Atoya for being such amazing hosts. We had such a wonderful time.
Yes, absolutely.
It was really meaningful to us. And just so many other people we saw in LA that I know we've forgotten, and I'm really sorry.
Eric, Michael Ward.
See, I'm forgetting them all. And it was Eric's anniversary.
It was Eric's anniversary. Juan Carlos, Ryan Krusak. There's just a ton of people. I mean, there was just so many of our good friends in LA, and it just pens all over the place. It was just it was a good time. It was really – we always look forward to L.A. because there's just some people you don't see. And it's always been a couple months since the last show. So
exactly. Now, Franz is in the chat. We got to meet Franz's mom. She was awesome. Edna was
she great. She was wild.
She was excited to be there.
That was awesome. That's what you want to see. Yep.
You know, we all – those of us who do pen shows, we all go and – sometimes it kind of wears you down. It's the same thing, and you got to get up way early, and the stuff is heavy, and it's not fun like it used to be when you could just go and shop. And Brian wishes he could just go and shop. But Edna was just so excited and so happy, and it was really a nice shot in the arm to kind of be brought back to that excitement and that passion and just that joy. So Franz and Edna, you guys, it was awesome. So. And Paul, we can't forget Paul. Oh, I mentioned Paul already.
Yeah.
Well, we hung out with Paul and Eddie G. Was it Saturday night?
Yeah. One of those nights. Yep.
We had a good time. So anyway, that's that.
All right. I think that's it for this week. Thanks for hanging in there. The 13 of you remaining in the chat. Until next week, use your pens, write to us at Anderson Pens, 10 East College Avenue, Suite 112A, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54911.
Check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, Periscope, and God knows what other social media is Anderson Pens.
Our blog is blog.andersonpens.com.
And the website is andersonpens.com.
Thanks for listening to the podcast, and we will see you next week. Have a good night.
Bye.